Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
I don't think I've ever heard this song.
Going on. Great song.
What is it?
Mrs. Jones.
Me and Mrs. Jones.
Me and Mrs. Jones.
Me, Mrs. Jones.
I don't think I've ever heard that before. That was number one on the month that you were born.
Yeah, December 19.
That's 51
1982.
No, it was not 1982.
December 82.
December 72.
72.
51 years ago.
I remember there were times I'd be putting my Bert... What? Date down on a document.
Date. I thought you said Bert.
Bert. Date down on a Bert. Document. And people would look at me and go, oh, my God, you're so young. And now I put my birth date down and people look at me and go, fucking hell.
Do you know the thing when you have to put your – and you've got a scroll and you're sitting there scrolling and scrolling, scrolling yeah. and scrolling and scrolling. Like, oh, come on now.
Come on.
And then you're like, oh, it's ridiculous. Do you know 1920 to 1976 is closer than 1976 to now or something like that. Ridiculous. Like
1920 to 1976.
Is closer to from 1976 to 2024.
Shit.
Or something like that. I don't even know if I've done the calcs right, but I saw a thing the other day about it and I went, oh, my God.
That's pretty fucking
I'm getting
scary.
Old. what
so
are we talking
about? So Mike would say all the time, in olden days. So and back in the olden days, yeah. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
I get
about?
Asked that too. And what are you talking my about? Niece and nephew always telling me I'm having senior moments now, so it's great.
I know that place, mate.
I know. What are we going to talk about today? Oh, yeah.
Marginalising?
No. We were going to talk about critical thinking.
Okay.
Because in the most recent podcast, we have talked about, we were talking about masculinity and we were talking about the concept of the toxic masculinity and it just got us to thinking around how oftentimes, you know, in what we've got happening around the world at the moment in the cultures that, the kind of the woke culture, I suppose, that we have going on and then just a bit of the virtue signalling that's been happening over the last couple of years. And I think we just – I just wanted just to touch on the fact that, you know, what we can do to help ourselves think for ourselves. I think there's so much of the – I don't know. In the years gone past, especially in COVID times and – but even now, there's so much – Virtue signaling happening that I worry that people aren't being taught or understand necessarily how to think for themselves. So I just want to talk about that.
Well, I think there's always that crisis has always been there. It's just definitely more highlighted now. People.
What, the crisis of not being able to think for yourself?
You think about it. You go to the army, what do? They teach you how to not to think for yourself. You go to church, what do? They teach you how they teach you how to not to think for yourself. You go to school, what do? They teach you how not to think for yourself. And so I think that that's been there for an extremely long time, but I think it's heightened at the moment. And it's important for people to understand this whole woke thing is actually naturally falling on its head now. Throughout the colleges in the US where it was really prevalent, it was really being pushed, is naturally just starting to
do
fall.
Do you think that?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It's definitely...
I literally don't know because I don't know if I haven't heard that it is or that it isn't, you know?
So I've listened to some podcasts and I've listened to some stuff where they're talking about the fact that it is crumbling fast and it's falling on its head.
Right.
And so I think that the problem with it is that this whole concept of, well, do you want to just explain what virtue signaling is?
I was just literally thinking that. So I think, it was very evident in the COVID times, you know, because we were going through that space where, you know, even with the Black Lives Matter thing that was just beforehand, it was like I know people were saying to me at some point, should I put a black square? Should I not? I'm like, I actually have no problem what people do, right?
You can put any square you want.
Put whatever you want. But the thing is that they were so caught up in making sure that everybody saw that they were on this page or this bandwagon. Mm-hmm. That included in the COVID times, you know, I got my flu shot or I got my COVID shot, or it's included in recent times, you know, people changing their Facebook profile picture to have the Ukraine flag. It's like I'm going to go along with the trend of the moment, right?
Yeah.
And so they're signaling, they're showing that they are on board. So that's what virtue signaling.
Yeah.
But my understanding, my interpretation of the way virtue signaling, I have to say it slowly for me to say it right. Virtue signaling is that it's a show of solidarity with the trend of the moment. But I don't know that there's been a lot of thought gone into that. Now, I might be wrong, but my understanding is that a lot of people are jumping on bandwagons. And the problem I have with that, or the issue that it raises for me in how I see things, is that I don't know how much thought, like actual free thought, has gone into some of those choices that people are making. Again, it actually doesn't matter. We're talking about it here just to highlight, I think, the importance of being able to think for yourself. And I really got clear with that in the early days of doing this work, because I remember you encouraged the thought process, thinking for yourself. Don't agree just because I say. This is what we do with our clients now. Don't agree with it just because I'm saying it. Challenge it. This is my understanding of it because of X, Y, Z. And we openly ask people to challenge the concepts of the things that we lay out because it's important that people don't just take things at face value. So what it feels to me is that when we're seeing that happening, that face we're value, taking not things any deeper than what it currently – what appears to be on the surface.
So this is the problem with tribalism, right?
Tribalism.
So what happens is that people want to go along with the tribe.
Okay. Is that what you mean by tribalism?
Yeah.
They want to go.
So tribalism has good elements and it has bad elements. But when you have this, you know, people wanting to go, should I put a black flag up or should I not put a black flag up? Should I put a pride flag up or should I not? Should I show an image of where I've been jabbed in my arm or should I not? People are doing that because they want to go along with the tribe, because it allows them to feel that they're not marginalized and that they're not separate. And when that's happening, it's, you know, they do it in the guise of morals and ethics and rights and wrongs. And then what happens is the thing they're trying not to do is the thing they end up doing to other people who just don't want to go along with that.
This is actually one of my big things is that, you know, you want to I've written articles around it that, you know, you are attacking, like you see a picture of somebody who has killed a rhino, right? And all the comments underneath that are he should be shot, he should be killed, and I'm like, you're doing exactly the same thing.
Except to a human.
You're just doing it to a human. And, like, there's no – and, like, again, this is just something that you see online. This is not – at the end of the day, is not reality. It's not something I have to worry about in my day-to-day life, other than the fact that my intention for myself is to look beyond what I'm being shown so that I can see and make up my mind for myself about a thing. And it appears to me that what you're saying here as well is that based on the tribe and based on the validation that people are getting from the people around them, that they're going along with that instead of thinking for themselves. Is that what you're saying?
The cost of critical thinking, the cost and tribalism is a cost of lack of critical thinking.
Yeah.
And what happens then is that when people do that, they jump on and it gives them something to talk about. So it gives them connection, you know. It allows them drama is a great statement, is drama, hot war is connection. Rather than the person, you know, talking about things that inspire them to connect as opposed to things that are desperate in the world. And like that has its pros and cons, because you can then marginalize your family, you can then marginalize the people around you that you love, but also you're doing it based on information that is non-substantiated and completely misinformed.
Mm-hmm.
And you're relying on fraternities and organizations that profit from the fact that you will jump into a tribe and you will start to marginalize other people, and it becomes all about clickbait. It becomes all about money. So one of the ways in which to create a great business is to create a problem and then become the solution for that problem, right? Mm. Hey, this is a problem, and now I have a solution for that problem. And so that seems to be what happens. But the cost of that is that you don't actually connect with people.
Yeah.
In those scenarios, you can't connect with resentment and anger and bitterness.
Well, yeah.
So now we're falsifying connection. We believe that connection is all about being right.
Yeah, or having the same idea. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like it feels like there's the discourse and the disagreement and I have a different viewpoint than you, but we can still be friends, is kind of dissipating. There were times, and for me, like I think that I wasn't always like this. I think there were moments where I was really staunch in my how this is how I see it and da da da. But for the most part, and for the most part of, let's say, the COVID scenario, I felt like I was quite open. I had my moments, but I definitely felt like I was quite open. But I felt like there could not be any discourse. There was no – it was like there was a group of people that were I am getting it and everybody should get this vaccine. And on the other side, there was this group of people that I'm not getting it. No one should get this vaccine. And so from both parties, there was a lack of understanding and a lack of critical thinking about what was going on in the wider picture.
Well,
in order to be fighting about literally the same thing.
The problem is that while you're busy fighting with each other, there's trillions of dollars being made, not billions, but now trillions of dollars being made. And nobody is asking the questions. But now the questions are getting asked. If you have a look at what's happening with Fauci and all these guys, it's not going to end. That's not going to go away. The court cases are just starting to build. And it's going to become enormous. But what happens then is that people are busy being right and wrong as opposed to asking the critical questions.
Which is doing the
research that goes, okay, well, you know, what is this? What does mandatory mean? And, you know, and am I, you know, if, and the cost of not looking, the cost of ignorance in some cases is people's lives and people's health and well-being.
But so for me then, like, regardless of what you do, like, if you want to put a flag on your profile picture because you want to put a flag on your profile picture, go for your life. If you're doing it because you're trying to get the kudos or the attention or to feel part of something, then that was the thing that for me was like, where's the thinking? Where's the thought? Like, I'll give you an example even lately. I'm a big fan of J.K. Rowling.
Yeah. Right?
I love the Harry Potter books.
Great.
But I find myself a bigger fan of her at the moment because she's quite staunch in saying things as she feels, right? And for somebody in her position who's getting a lot of heat to do that, she's coming out and really backing females in having their own private spaces and parts of society, including women's bathrooms, women's sports, things like that. She's quite vocal in that.
Yeah.
And what I love about it is that she's just doing it regardless of what anybody else is thinking. But I, even from people that I wouldn't have imagined it, they're saying things like, I liked the Harry Potter books, I don't like JK anymore because she's transphobic, right? And I'm like, okay, I don't see that. I see it differently. And couldn't quite, like, I was watching something fairly recently and this guy was having, like, doing a teaching exercise and one of the kids was saying to him that he perceived that J.K. Rowling was transphobic. He said, okay, let's use this as a lesson in critical thinking, right? I'm not going to say I agree with you or disagree with you, but I'm going to ask you qualifying questions. Let's figure out what's going on. And basically, in the process of him asking these questions, it turns out that the kid didn't think that she was transphobic. She was just stating statements that other people. So every his arguments kept turning back to other people say. He said, okay, but not what other people say. You reading that tweet, tell me, do you think that that sounds transphobic? And if so, why? So it's like we are almost conditioned, or we're feeling a little bit conditioned to go along with what the narrative is, tribalism. As opposed, and then tribalism, you're right, mm-hmm. so it's a good way to say it. The narrative is, as opposed to really consciously stepping back and going, let me think about this.
So the thing about it is also is that people have the capacity to go, let me think about this.
Yeah.
And when you ignore that and you just go along with the crowd, you're doing that because you want to feel popular. Mm-hmm. Well, why do you not feel popular in the first place? Mm-hmm. You want to feel connected. Well, why do you not feel connected in the first place? Or where are you getting connection but you're ignoring it for something that you don't actually want? Feelings and emotions you don't want to go through. Nobody wants to wake up tomorrow morning and pick up the paper and sit there and just be resentful about mm-hmm. the world. But this is how they capture your consciousness. This is how they kidnapped your ability to be able to think for yourself.
Well, this is all...
Is that they create drama that robs you of your creative capacity. Yeah. And the masses get caught up in this drama, and they get caught up in it because it allows them to feel as if they're part of something, and it allows them to feel right. You have no idea. Most people have no idea what J.K. Rowling said, what the tweets were. Most people have never even looked at them.
Arguing those points.
Yeah, and if you look at them straight away, you're going to realize, holy shit, I was just hoodwinked. I was just fed this nonsense, which is... completely misinformed information that is just not true.
And I think that if you really want to make an impact, you're better off doing it from that critical thinking standpoint. Because if, let's say, you do have a real affinity to support, you know, trans rights, let's say that's something that is big for you, and you just jump on a bandwagon because you've what other people have said, your argument is going to be lost completely instead of being... well written, balanced, researched, and understand what she's saying and argue a different point. Does that make sense? Mm. What happens is that we resort to, I don't know, like just this stereotypical like threats and frustration and all that stuff going on. And so therefore no proper discussions or discourse can be had, because it's like you can only be friends with people who think the same as you. Do you know what I mean? You can only have conversations with people who think the same as you because your arguments don't stand up in the proper discourse.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean that you can't, like, for most people, when that's what happens. The arguments destruct when they're actually being asked to think critically. When you're asked to think critically, if you actually see that there's a problem, you are going to have more impact when you can... state your case from a balanced perspective. And what's happening is that I feel like there's so much of the imbalance happening. There's so much of I'm just going to jump over here because it gives me a sense of identity, a sense of being one of the crowd, that there's no room for individuality. Now, I know that that's a broad generalization, but I think that it's a good exercise just internally for me to check into the places where I do that. And I can see that on a mass scale, that I don't do that on a mass scale. But there are times in my individual circumstances where somebody might say something and I might jump on a bandwagon instead of going, hang on a second, what has happened? Let me ask some questions to actually find the truth of the matter here. Does that make sense? Because I think that the danger of not thinking critically is that we lose our authenticity. Mm. We lose the thing that makes us us. Do you know what I mean? Mm. You and I and Mary, probably last year or so, we were sitting around a table in Melbourne. We went and visited the guys in Melbourne, and they made us this beautiful vegan lunch. And we had a full-blown argument at the table. Do you remember?
Yeah.
We had a few different sides and probably like three or four different perspectives of certain things that were happening around the table.
And it was actually really, really refreshing, because we all got up from there and were friends. Like, there was no, like... We had different points of view. We were coming at things from a different perspective, but all of us were able to ask questions and find out further information. And even if you stick with your own point of view, it doesn't matter. You can still walk away from that table as, you know, as
people who've had a proper discourse. Does that make sense?
Yep.
We are not lessened because we have a different point of view.
Yeah, I think that when you have proper conversations, it's not a personal thing, it's a common sense thing. Mm-hmm. And when there's no common sense, what happens is that people just jump on bandwagons. And this whole, you know, people don't understand the ramifications of some of the mental health issues that come out of this, some of the, you know, some of the threats to society itself. We need certain elements of society to be marginalized. We've always needed that. You know, the lioness, you know, keeps her cubs away from the hyenas because they'll get eaten.
Yeah.
You know, understand? So you need to be able to, you know where you want to thread and know where you don't. Mm-hmm. And people think, you know what, everybody needs to be accepted. But they don't realize that you can't be biased with that. You know, that has all sorts of extremities to it. Because what we start to look at now is you see now that pedophiles are starting to push for their own flag. You know, they're starting to push for their own position in society.
They're not calling them pedophiles at the moment. They're calling them minor attracted persons.
Which is fucking insane. Like, it's just fucking insane.
So what happens is that when we jump on a bandwagon, so this is where I see the issue. And you have to understand, the bandwagon can be both sides. Just because, I particularly agree with, let's say, the non-being vaccinated, right, mm-hmm. doesn't mean people don't jump on the bandwagon there too, right? Mm-hmm. So that's very possible. But let's say as soon as you start allowing certain things, right, other things become more commonly accepted. And then when we don't have the option to critically think that, mm-hmm. it becomes a point where we naturally have to go along with something that doesn't fit, you know, which is this, right? So I think, even parts of the gay and lesbian and trans community mm-hmm. have been isolated because they don't follow the narrative that says everybody is, you know, whatever the next, like, extreme part of the narrative. Mm-hmm. That's just another thing that's being hijacked on top of this aspect. And there's a whole subsection of that community that are not on board with that. But so then they get marginalized as a result. Yeah. So it's like, I think, look, we're talking big stuff in terms of like worldwide stuff. I think when it comes down to an individual, I think what we need to do on an individual basis is demonstrate as many times as possible in as many situations as possible the fact that we can think for ourselves. Yeah. I think being able to teach our kids that, being able to that to demonstrate our children, do you know what I mean, helps significantly. Like oftentimes, you know, your kids or some other kids will come up to me and say something and I'll ask them, why do you think that?
Yeah.
Right. Lexi said something to me the other day and I said, why do you think that? And she said, because I found out about this and this and this. You know, she does her research around stuff. And I liked that because firstly, she didn't just say it because everybody else was saying it. She'd backed it up by asking different questions. And if that's the case, then going forward, she'll back up her other statements by asking further questions. And I think we have a responsibility to ourselves to lead the way in that respect. So to encourage discourse, to encourage disagreement, to encourage having relationship with somebody who has a different point of view and being able to get up off the table as friends, do you know what I mean, is asking questions. So, you know, something happened with me the other day and I remember feeling, whoa, hang on a second, this was not okay. I don't like the fact that this has happened with somebody in my family. And I was like, but that's just me being closed to that situation. So now instead of being close to that, I have to ask questions. So I have to ask questions to see if I'm going to get a different response because it was hitting close to home because something was happening in the family as opposed to outside. So my point is that I think we're being called on to think for ourselves.
It's not a bad thing, Mills. You're right. I think that these conversations are important. You're always going to have people who will just be sheep and go along with the crowd. Yeah. You're always going to have that sort of stuff. But you know, if you're truly intelligent enough, you will not get involved in any of that stuff and you will not encourage it.
Because your consciousness is getting hijacked to that.
But it's also been, the problem is it's happening in schools now and it's happening with our children and it's been disguised as acceptance, right? And things like, you know, this child identifies as a cat. Now, what parents don't realize is that when you do that, what you're promoting in the child is dissociative disorder.
But you're also promoting, because a kid, right, will come back to you and go, that kid is not a cat, that kid is a kid. And you're saying to them, no, it's a cat.
Yeah.
So now they're not learning to trust themselves.
Yeah.
They're not learning to think for themselves.
Yeah.
So where I would be doing that differently is that, well, what do you think? How does that look for you? Like, do you think it's possible for a child to actually be a cat, or are they just behaving in that way?
Right.
And why do you think they're behaving in that way? Always asking questions.
When I was having that conversation with the kids, I said, how are the teachers talking to you about that? And they said, well, this kid feels as if she's more cuddly and she's more courageous if she's a cat.
Mm-hmm.
So the disguise is that if I promote dissociative disorder in this child, they're going to feel like a different person. So they're fracturing the child's personality, their psyche, and their sense of self, which is exactly what happens for people who are schizophrenic later in life. It happens at a younger age because they're dealing with pressure situations, and as the person that they are, they can't deal with it, so they become another personality or they become another person. And so that promotes mental illness within the family. But nobody tells the fucking parents that. Nobody turns around and says, okay, if you do a little bit of research, if you just, not much, but if you just look at what the key causes of dissociative disorder are and mental illness, you will see that it is generally where the child is not able to emotionally adapt to certain pressures that are happening in the family. The child should not have to become a cat to feel as if they're cuddly or warm or loved. The question is, what is going on for the child in the family that is not allowing them to feel that? And that's the root, and that's the thing you have to fix.
So that's where the critical thinking comes in, is like you have to be able to think outside of what you're being told is normal.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that, like I said, I think where that starts is with us as individuals. So ask questions, something that encourage conversations, like have conversations around the dinner table about things that you disagree with, and encourage conversations that help your kids or you to elicit information and be open to different points of view. Do you know what I mean? Like even just simple things. Your daughter, Lola, you know, did a whole a presentation about why she should get Snapchat. Do you remember the PowerPoint presentation?
She's done one on belly button rings as well.
She
hasn't got a belly button
ring. No.
The presentation was not great.
Wasn't it? No. Well, even in her presentation, I was able to argue about, you know, 90% of the points. But there was one point that I went, ooh, that's actually a really good point, Lola. Let me go and figure that out. Like, that shows them that you are, because it was an actual really good point. I can't remember what it was now.
Right.
And I came back to her and said, okay, no, because, and I gave her the response. But the point is that you're encouraging her to step out of her zone, ask the questions. You are demonstrating through that you're open to having a conversation around it rather than just being, it's my way or no way. Does that make sense? And I think that that's what we need to encourage. Firstly, if we want to make a difference in the world, we have to stop letting our consciousness be hijacked by what's out in the world, and we have to start internally. And that means asking questions, being in discourses that are confrontational or they have disagreements, encouraging our kids to disagree with us and be able to have conversations and share information that might be contradictory to how you think, because that is all what's going to help us as a, firstly as individuals, and then ultimately step up and start to think for ourselves again, in my view.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's shocking when that sort of stuff starts to happen in society and you're thinking, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
But what we're seeing now, as I said, is it's starting to fall on its head really fast. And as a result of that, I think what comes out of that is these conversations, which is to encourage people to actually realize, ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. The minute you stop asking questions, you literally kill your consciousness.
You know what was really good for me back in the day is that we would have to, because I was on the debate team in high school and I loved debating. Like, I, you can tell I love talking. But when we were given a topic that we didn't agree with and we had to make arguments for the opposite side, it was phenomenal because it made you, it pushed you to see it from a different perspective. It may not have ultimately changed your way of thinking, but it gave you a sense of compassion and understanding for another point of view. And I think that's what critical thinking is all about, is not just going, hey, I'm just going to go along with it for the sake of it. I'm actually going to look deeper.
The other thing I'll say to that as well is that, you know, one of the things I say to my kids all the time is that eagles fly alone. And if you're going to critically think for yourself, you're going to have to understand you're not going to fit in with the tribe, because most of the tribe are just asleep.
Yeah.
They love, you know, they love the media, they love the news, they believe everything they're being fed and told. They don't believe that for one minute that their, you know, pharmaceutical companies, banks, organizations are there to get them, and that they don't believe that, they believe that everything they're being told about that stuff is true. And you lose, you know, you lose your capacity to be a great leader when you join the tribe.
Both sides, Mitch, right?
Yeah.
Either side. When to say it's all good or all bad,
yeah.
Either side is, you lose yourself because nothing is so black and white. There's got to be balance in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Very good. Cool.